Haggai chapter 2, verse 1 to verse. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, it is not in your eyes as nothing. Yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. God would bless the reading of his precious word. We finished chapter 1 in the last class, and we have come to chapter 2. In chapter 1, we considered the displeasure of God. That was from verse 1 to verse 11. And then we looked at the pleasure of the Lord from verse 12 to verse 15. And we saw how they heeded to God's word, and they came back and they did the work of the house of God. I just want to touch upon just a few things that we rushed through on that last class. We considered from verse 12 to verse 15. We saw that there was a response of the people. We considered the restoration of the people. We considered the reverence of the people. Then we considered the respect of the people. And then we considered the reassurance of the Lord. And we considered the revival and the resumption of the work. That was what we considered in the last class. How when they heard the word of God through Haggai, there was a great change in them. And I just want to look at that part of revival. And there we see in verse 14 that the Lord stirred up the spirit of each of them. We read there the spirit of Zerubbabel, and then we saw the spirit of Joshua, and then the spirit of the remnant of the people. It is the Lord who worketh in us. When we take one step, then we consider that the Lord is immediately with us. In spite of having gone back, in spite of our disobedience, in spite of our neglect of God's word or God's matters, when we take the first step, when we look towards the Lord, when we decide to change, when we decide to return, the very moment the Lord is with us. And not only is the reassurance of His presence with us, but the Spirit of God worketh with our spirit immediately. There is a work that begins. He moves towards us. We consider about the prodigal son. When he decided that he will acknowledge his sin, and when he returned back, before he could utter a word, there was a father who came and embraced him. And not only that, immediately after that, the father began to work. He changed his clothes, he put on a ring to him, he ordered for a feast. So it's the Lord who worketh. And we consider that in this connection, the people of God, at the time of Haggai, they responded positively to the working of the Spirit of God. You know, we can either respond positively to the promptings of the Spirit, or we can reject the prompting of the Spirit. When you respond positively, then the Lord is there with you to work out His plans and His purposes in us. But when we don't, it's going to be difficult. We read about Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Isn't it? Pharaoh hardened his heart. When Moses came, Pharaoh hardened his heart. But after that we begin to read that the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. You see, when you don't respond positively to the promptings of God, then eventually after some time, the Lord starts hardening the heart of them. They do not respond to His voice. Yeah, these people responded to the voice. They said, this is the voice of the Lord. So they responded. But when you say it is not the voice of the Lord, then we are hardening our heart. And that's a very dangerous thing in our life. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11, we read there, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck. Very often when reproof comes to us, slowly we begin to harden our hearts. And the word of God does not become effective in our life. But for these people, it was a time when they responded positively. Remember of old David in the Psalms we read and quoted again in the Hebrews. Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. What happened to them? When they hardened their heart, 40 years they spent in the wilderness. They hardened their heart against the voice of the Lord. And very often when we harden our hearts, our life in this earth that needs to be a life of God's blessing would be a life as live in the wilderness. And that's what happened to the children of Israel when they neglected the things of God. But now they responded positively. And that's what these people did. When the word of the Lord came to them, they returned back to the word and they decided to obey the word of God. And so in our life and in our assemblies, if we need to sustain the revival, the spirit of revival in us, then we will return to the word. And when we return to the word, then the spirit of God begins to work in our life. Now the pleasure of God, as we considered in chapter 1, continues in chapter 2. And so from chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 9 is the continuation of the pleasure of God. And verse 1 to verse 3 is the discouragement of the people. And verse 4 to verse 9 is the encouragement of God. The discouragement of his people and the encouragement of the Lord. So firstly we look at verse 1, the day. What is the day? 21st day of the 7th month. We considered when we looked at chapter 1, verse 1 starts with the date and we considered the relevance of the date. The first day of the 6th month. And we saw every first day was the day that was a memorial. They had to sound the trumpet. Now here it is the 21st day of the 7th month. What is the relevance of the 7th month and the 21st day? The Feast of the Tabernacle. When is the Feast of the Tabernacle? So 15th of the 7th month is the Feast of the Tabernacle. So what's the other feast in the 7th month? The Feast of the Trumpet, that is on the first day of the 7th month. And then you have on the 10th day of the 7th month, you have the Day of Atonement. And now on the 15th day of the 7th month, we have the Feast of the Tabernacle. So what is the 21st day? It is the 7th day of the Feast of the Tabernacle. The Feast of the Tabernacle is to be celebrated for 7 days. For 7 days. So when we say 21st day, it is the 7th day of the Feast of the Tabernacle. It is on this day God is speaking to his people. We want to look at the relevance of the Feast of Tabernacle for a moment. Or the feast in general. What are the various feasts? The Feast of the Passover, that's on the first month, 14th day. Then the second feast, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which is 7 days, beginning on the following day of the Passover. And then you have the Feast of the First Fruit. When is that, Feast of the First Fruit? Yeah, the third day of the Passover, after the Sabbath, the following day of the Sabbath. So the third day of the Passover. And then you have the, after 7 Sabbaths. So it is the 50th day, the following day after the 7th Sabbath, the 50th day, what do you have? The Feast of the Weeks, which is called the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. And then you have what we consider the seventh month. So you have two divisions there. The first three feasts are on the first month. Then on the 50th day from that, you have the Feast of the Weeks, and then you have all the feasts on the seventh month. The end of the seventh month, all the feast is over, and this is the last day of the feast. And this Feast of the Tabernacle goes ahead for the eighth day, when they have to have a Sabbath. It is the eighth day. They do no work on that day. That's the closing of the Feast of the Tabernacle. So in the Feast of Tabernacle, what do? They will live in tents, isn't it? 7 days, they will live in tents. They have to make booths. Why did they have to make the booths? So there is a looking back. So in the Feast of the Tabernacle, firstly, there is a looking back to the past. What are they going to look back? You read there in verse 43, Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 43. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. So it is to remember the faithfulness of God, that He has kept them through their journey when they came out from Egypt. And they came into the land, into the promised land. So the Feast of the Tabernacle, there was a turning back and looking at the past. Now look at verse 39. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 39. Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered the fruit of the land. Right? That goes on. When you have gathered the fruit of the land. So not only there is a looking back to the past, there is also a looking at the present. The Feast of the Tabernacle was also looking at the present. When you have gathered the fruit of the land, what is the present? The fulfillment of the gathering of the fruit. Now look at Exodus chapter 23 verse 16. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 16. There it talks about not as the Feast of the Tabernacle. There it talks about as the Feast of the Ingathering, which is the end of the year when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. So it is the gathering of the labor. So it is the present. When they have gathered the fruits that has come out in their fields. Now, what is the relation of the Feast of the First Fruits with the Feast of the Tabernacle? The Feast of the First Fruit were the first harvest of the crops. And the Feast of the Tabernacle was towards the end of the harvest, when you brought in all your gathering. The gathering, the ingathering, the Feast of the Ingathering, and all the labors of you have taken. Or in other words, the Feast of the First Fruit was a promise of a very plentiful harvest that was ahead of them. And the Feast of the Tabernacle was after they harvested all those plentiful, between the time of the Feast of the First Fruit to the time of the seventh month. From the first month to the seventh month, there was going to be a plentiful of harvest, and they, after having gathered in their harvest of their field, they come before the Lord to rejoice before the Lord. So the Feast of the First Fruits were looking forward with a great promise. People did it with a great expectation. And when it came to the Feast of the Tabernacle, they looked back not only of the times in which they lived in the wilderness, their fathers lived, but also the present of the plentiful which God has given to them, and they would come with that and they would rejoice in the presence of God. So the Feast of the Tabernacle was looking at the present realization of the promises of God. That's the looking at the present. Now so it was not only looking to the past, it was also looking to the present. It was looking at the present, the blessing that they have received. And thirdly, The Feast of the Tabernacle was looking forward to the future. It was looking forward to the future. What was it looking forward to? It was looking forward to the days of millennium. The days of millennium. Only these two feasts, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread and the Feast of the Tabernacle, had 7 days. The others were on a particular day. All the other things were on a particular day. Passover was a particular day. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread was for 7 days. And now we know what it means to us. It speaks about this age in which we live, that we have to keep ourselves, cleanse ourselves and keep us holy in the Lord. And the period of the tabernacle was looking forward for the period of the millennium, which is again a period of age. Now this is looking forward for the future. They were looking forward to the promises of God with respect to their earthly inheritance, to the children of Israel. It was looking forward for their earthly inheritances. Right now at the time of Haggai, they were captives and they had just come back to their land. But they were looking forward for a day when their Messiah will appear. The Feast of the Tabernacle was looking forward for the coming of Messiah, for establishing His Messianic Kingdom. So you will remember that when the Lord Jesus Christ was upon the earth, He attended a feast. He attended many feasts. If you look at, we go through the Gospels, you will see that He attended feasts. We look at that in a moment. But He attended the Feast of the Tabernacle. John's Gospel and chapter 7, verse 2. The Jews' Feast of the Tabernacle was at hand. And verse 3, See, here was the Lord Jesus Christ. He came from Jerusalem. He is now in His house. The Feast of the Tabernacle was at hand. And His brethren tell Him, go, depart from here, go to Judea or go to Jerusalem and show yourself. What were they trying to tell Him? What were they trying to tell the Lord Jesus Christ? They were trying to tell the Lord Jesus Christ, you say that you are doing all these great miracles. You say that you have come from heaven. All these kinds of claims that you establish through whatever you are doing. Now go there and show it to the people. Now the question is, was not the Lord Jesus Christ showing it to the people? Were not the people seeing that, what He was doing? Was He not doing that? Did the people see Him doing His miracles? Did He do miracles in Galilee? Did He do miracles in Judea? Yes. So why is brethren telling Him, now if you go to Judea and show yourself? Has He not gone and shown Himself? Now that is the relevance with the day in which they are talking to Him about. It is the day of the Feast of the Tabernacle. And the Feast of the Tabernacle was also for looking forward to the coming of Messiah. And his brethren was telling Him, if you claim to be the one, now you go to the Feast of the Tabernacle. They are looking forward for the Messiah to come. They are under bondage then. They were under the rule of Romans. They were looking for deliverance. You go and show yourself as the Christ that is to come and establish your kingdom if you are truly the one who you claim to be the one. That's, in short, what they were trying to tell Him. Look at verse 6, what the Lord Jesus Christ tells them. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come. My time is not yet come. You go. But for Me, the time is not come. And did the Lord Jesus Christ go for the feast? Did He go? He did go for the feast. He said, you go. My time is not come to go and reveal Myself. And then what do we read there later? He went in secret. The Lord Jesus Christ now goes to the feast. After His brethren has gone, the Lord Jesus Christ goes to this feast in secret without revealing Himself. Verse 14, chapter 7 and verse 14. And there we read, now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. He went to the temple and He taught. Look at verse 26 now. Looking on only what is relevant to what we wanted to see. Verse 26. But look, now the people say, but look, He speaks boldly and they say nothing to Him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? Look at the expectation of the people. They know what the Lord Jesus Christ did in the past. They've heard about Him. They've seen Him doing that. Now they're looking at Him. He's once again in the temple. He's once again teaching to the people. And they say, in fact, they were trying to catch Him. They're looking out for Him. And here is He teaching, and they say, don't the rulers know? Do they also think that this is the Christ? Verse 27. Howbeit we know this man, whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Verse 31. And many of the people believed on Him and said, when Christ cometh, will He do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Verse 41. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? What I wanted to draw your attention was that the Feast of the Tabernacle was looking forward to the period of the Messianic Kingdom. They were looking forward every time they celebrated that feast. They were looking forward when they will have their inheritances, when they will have the kingdom of David once again established upon the earth, and they were looking forward for the Christ to come. And here was the Christ who was in their midst. Why did He say His time is not yet come? Why did the Lord say, my time is not come? And why did He go in secret? Because before He shows Himself as the Christ of the Feast of the Tabernacle, there was the feast of the Passover to be kept. There was the feast of the first fruit to be kept. There was the feast of the Pentecost that is to be completed. And had He revealed Himself as the Messiah and established His kingdom, where would salvation have gone for you and for me? My time is not yet come. The Feast of the Tabernacle looks forward for the coming of the Messiah. There's one more thing that we have to see that we will see later. Now, how many times were the male in Israel to appear before the Lord? We read that they have to appear 3 times. Which are the occasions when they have to appear? The Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread are inseparable. It's referred to together in Exodus. So, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Then we have, secondly, the Feast of the Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost. And thirdly, the Feast of the Tabernacle. These are the 3 feasts when all the males of Israel have to come before the presence of the Lord. Before the Tabernacle, and when it came to the temple, they had to gather in Jerusalem before the temple. Now this was the condition that was given to them. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread, 3 feasts are almost included in that. You see, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread were for 7 days. Isn't it? So Passover is inseparable with that. And also the Feast of the First Fruit also was coming within that week. So the first 3 feasts, they have here. When they come in for the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the first 3 feasts are covered in that feast. And then they will come for the Feast of the Pentecost. That's the one in the middle. And then they will come the last on the Feast of the Tabernacle. Now, 3 times they had to appear before the Lord. Did the Lord appear? The 3 feasts which every male had to keep. Did the Lord keep those feasts? He considered He went for the Feast of the Tabernacle. His brethren said, go. He said, no, I'm not going now. But He went in secret. The Feast of the Passover we know, or the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Lord Jesus Christ, did He go to the temple on that day? John's Gospel chapter 2. When we look at John's Gospel chapter 2, there we read on the Passover was at hand. He went to the temple, and there He drove out those people who were trading there. The Feast of the Passover that is linked with the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. We read in the Gospel of Matthew, before the trial of our Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, they came and asked Him, where shall we keep the Passover? So the feast of the unleavened bread and the feast of the tabernacle, he went to the temple. The third feast is the feast of the Pentecost. Did the Lord keep the feast of the Pentecost? There is no specific verse that says that he did keep the feast of the Pentecost. But I would like to draw your attention to a verse that may suggest that he was there on the feast of the Pentecost. Look at that in a moment. Before I come to that, now, what is the difference between the feast of the first fruit and the feast of the weeks? Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 10. When ye come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. So the first fruit of your harvest, that's a feast of the first fruit. And what is the feast of the weeks? What is the feast of the weeks? Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15. Verse 15 to verse 17. Now, I will give the short of what that 15 to 17 says. From the day when he brought the sheaf of the wave offering, shall he number 50 days, and he shall bring two wave loaves, baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. What is this feast about? It says, this is also, they are the first fruit unto the Lord. So the feast of the first fruit is also bringing in the first fruit. And the feast of the week is also the first fruit. Verse 17. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. So the feast of the first fruit was also the first fruit. They brought the sheaf of the crop and they waved it before the Lord. The priest would wave it before the Lord. But here, the difference was only that they brought the loaves, two loaves. But here again, it was also the first fruit. Or in other words, the first fruit of a particular crop that was taken and that was made into a loaf of bread and brought there. But both of them were the first fruit. The feast of the first fruit was the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The feast of the loaves is the birth of the church, the Pentecost. But then what is this crop of the feast of the week? What is the difference? Which crop was this and which crop was the other? What is the difference in the crop? Now turn with me to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Again deals with the three times you have to appear before the Lord. And verse 18 you have there the mention, the feast of the unleavened bread thou shalt keep. And then when you come to verse 22, there we read about the feast of the weeks. And thou shalt observe the feast of the weeks of the first fruit of the wheat harvest. Now you see, the feast of the weeks or the feast of Pentecost is to do with the first fruit of the wheat harvest. So wheat harvest begins at that time. But what about the feast of the first fruit? The feast of the first fruit is to do with the harvest of barley. That comes before. It's the harvest of barley. Now, I'm not going to go into spiritual meaning of barley and all those details. But I want to remind you just this. The feast of the first fruit, which we refer to, is the barley harvest. And the feast of the wheat is to do with the first fruit or the wheat harvest. Now, turn with me to Exodus chapter 9. When is the barley harvest? Exodus chapter 9 and verse 31 and verse 32. Here is the plague upon the Egyptians. And there we see what happens. In verse 31, and the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bald. Verse 32, but the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. You see the difference? What comes first? The harvest of the barley is ready. But when it comes to the harvest of the wheat, it is yet not ready. It comes later on. So at the feast of the Passover, the barley harvest is ready for harvest. In fact, that word the month of the Passover, month Habib or Nisan, which is referred to later on. Right? Month Habib. The meaning of the word Habib itself is green ear of corn. So the harvest is ready, the barley is harvested, and it is brought and laid before the Lord. The barley harvest comes in, and then when the wheat harvest comes in, there again it is brought before the Lord on the feast of the weeks. So did the Lord keep the feast of the Pentecost? Look at John's Gospel chapter 5. John's Gospel chapter 5 and verse 1. Here is the mention of the feast of the Jews. There is no mention as to which feast it was. In all the other, there is a mention. It was the feast of the tabernacle, it was the feast of the unleavened bread, and so forth. Now here it talks about the feast was the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. What was the incident at this time? It was by the pool of Bethesda. Here was the pool where a man was lying in wait for the water to shake and so that he could go in and be healed. And then when we come to verse 14, so Jesus finds him in the temple. So the Lord Jesus Christ is there in the temple now. Earlier we read that it was in this Solomon's porch. That also is a part of the temple. Anyhow, here is the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. Now what is this feast? What could be this feast? There are various views. Some think it's the feast of the Passover. Some think it's the feast of the tabernacle. Some think it's the feast of the weeks. Now I want to turn to the previous chapter. Chapter 4 and verse 35. The previous chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ was in the well and speaking to the Samaritan woman. And his disciples went out to buy food. And they come back to the Lord Jesus Christ and they tell him to eat. And there the Lord Jesus Christ says, my meat is to do the will of God. Now in the context of that, the Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 32, but he said unto them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And then verse 34 he says, Jesus said unto them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish your work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Do you not say there is 4 months and then cometh the harvest? Now what was the Lord Jesus Christ referring to that? Which harvest? 4 months. Now the 4 months of the harvest is referring to the wheat harvest. Because the time of the harvest for the wheat is a period of nearly 120 days. It's a 4 month period. And the Lord was referring to them, are you not saying that the 4 months is yet there for the wheat harvest? Now, taking that, and then when he comes to chapter 5, after that incident, the feast is mentioned, and I presume that this feast is the feast of the harvest of the wheat, or the feast of the weeks. Now, this is just taking the previous chapter and connecting it to chapter 5 and verse 1 and verse 2. But you can't be conclusively sure that it is so. I believe that it is so. But the Lord kept those three feasts that every male had to keep. He appeared himself in the temple because he had to keep all righteousness. So that is the day of the 21st of the 7th month, the Feast of the Tabernacle. Firstly, the day. And look at the second, the disappointment. Come to Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 40. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 40. And there we read, and he shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of fig trees, the willow of the brook, and he shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. So they have to bring the bough of the goodly trees, or in other words, the bough means, the original Hebrew means the fruit of the goodly trees. They have to come with the fruit of these trees. And with the strong branches of these trees, they have to make their booths. And this indicates or declares of the plentiful harvest that they have received. But what about these people at the time of Haggai? They had really nothing. They really had nothing. All of whatever they did and they harvested were things that were lost. So for these people, at this point of time, when they came to the Feast of the Tabernacle, it was indeed a time of disappointment. There was nothing that they had, really speaking, to bring and build these booths. They would have been dried wood that was there. So secondly, this was a time of disappointment for these people. And thirdly, it was a time of discouragement. The discouragement of the people. What was the discouragement? Chapter 2 and verse 4. Here we read, "Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?" Here were these people. They came and began to build the house of God. They left it in ruins for almost 16 years. Now they heeded to God's word. There was revival. They came to build the temple. And they were doing the work of the temple. Though the Feast of the Tabernacle was there, there was a time for rejoicing. In fact, they were really disappointed. But at the time of disappointment, they were the older men living at the time when the earlier temple was there. The older men, when they saw the foundation that is being laid, they came and said, "Is this the temple? Is this the temple? You look at this and you call this the temple of God?" It was a great disappointment for these people. They went out to the mount. They brought the wood. They began to build the house of God. But here was a group of people that came to that place and they looked upon them and said, "This temple, when you compare this for even the foundation when you're looking, is nowhere comparable to the temple which Solomon had built." We read that when they first laid the foundation 16 years back, there was the same voice. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 3 and verse 12. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 12. There we read, "But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy." So this happened 16 years back also. On the one side, there was a great shout of joy. Those people who came and laid the foundation, there was a great joy in them. They were going to build the temple of God. But those older men, the Levites, those who lived at the time when before the captivity, where they have seen the temple which Solomon had built, and they're looking at the foundation that these people are laying, and they wept with a loud voice. And on the one side there was a joy, on the other side there was weeping. And now again when they began to build the foundation, the men that came there and saw the foundation, they said, Is this the house of God that you are building?" They must have described the beauty of the temple of Solomon, the gold and the silver, and all those precious materials that went into building the house of God by Solomon. And here they were now laying the wood. It was a great discouragement for the people of God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 5, we read there is what David says to Solomon. He says to them, "You have to build a house for God which is exceedingly magnificent, the fame of which and the glory should be known through all the countries." That's the great majesty of the temple of Solomon. But here, when they began to build the house, when they heard these things, they were very discouraged. What's the big point of building this house? They looked at the outward beauty of the temple. Very often we can be discouraged when we are in the work of the Lord. When we compare our work with the work of others. It may seem to be as nothing. And very often we are very discouraged in our life when we compare one with another. And that's what happened to these people. And that is why God was now coming to them on the 21st day of the 7th month and speaking to them, because here was a people who were completely discouraged in the work that they began. They neglected the work. They started with great eagerness when they first came. Then they neglected the work because of an adversary that came. Now where is the adversary coming from? The adversary is coming from within. It is among them that they said that this is not as good as it was, so there is no point in doing the work of God. Brothers and sisters, the work that we do may not stand up to the standards of what the work we see in other places. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What work God has given to us, God is not looking not at the external things that can be seen. So great work, we have looked at that before. It's those little things that He is more interested in. And our work need not be so big. And we need not be discouraged. Very often when we turn back from our ways and come back and begin our work in the house of God, very often we face discouragement from people who are already there. They may try to discourage you. They would talk about of your past that you have done. Doesn't that happen to us? If in the past my spiritual life has been not that good and there is a revival in my life, I come back to the house of God and begin to do the work of God, there would be other ancient men there. They would stand up and look at you and they will tell you, you were like this and like this and like this. Why did you step behind? Doesn't that happen? Because of what you have done in the past? And that's what happened to these people. For what they have done in the past, the temple was brought down. Now the temple is to be built again. But here was people who would come and discourage them because of what had happened in their past. They neglected the work, but now they have come to do the work. They did it because God told them to do the work. They came with the right motive. They came with the right eagerness. They wanted to build the house of God in the manner which God had wanted. It may not look all that great, all that beautiful, but God still wants us to never be discouraged. What the people will tell you. Never be discouraged in the work of the Lord, for what the others might point at the faults that are there within you. Here was the encouragement. We will look at it next week. The encouragement that comes from God to His people. Another thing that the Feast of the Tabernacle talks about is the delight of the Feast of the Tabernacle. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 15. We consider that it is the ingathering of the fruit. It was the completion of the harvest. But what does it say there? The Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase. Or in other words, it's again a blessing for the future. The Lord thy God shall bless thee, not having blessed you. The Feast of the Tabernacle is also a promise for the continual blessing of the Lord in the fruit of the land, the fruit that you have to produce. If in the past you have not done, it's a shameful thing for the past for you. God says the Feast of the Tabernacle is also the promise of a blessing, of a continued harvest, even if the time of the harvest is over. It's a blessing of God that you can look forward to at the Feast of the Tabernacle. The delight of the Feast of the Tabernacle. The day of the feast, the disappointment of the feast, the discouragement of the feast, but there is a delight in this feast. This is the only feast where the Lord says, you have to rejoice. It is a feast of rejoicing. In the other feast, there is a feast to afflict. You have to afflict yourself. But here, you have to rejoice. When we come to the Gospel of John and chapter 7, look at verse 37 there. John's Gospel chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. In the last day, that great day of the feast, the last day, the 21st day, is the great day of the feast. 440 years before this day, when the children of Israel when God spoke through Haggai to the people of God, 440 years ago, on the same day, 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 66. See, on the eighth day he sent the people away. What is the occasion of this? It was the dedication of the temple which Solomon had built. The people came, they kept the feast of the tabernacle. It was the day when the temple of God was dedicated. And on the eighth day, that is the last day, it is inseparable from the seventh day. On that day, the people returned back. 7 days they kept the feast. In fact, they were there for 21 days. If you look at that portion, we'll compare in 1 Kings and all again in Chronicles. They were there. On the last day after the dedication was over, the people went back to their tents, rejoicing. They were joyful and glad of the heart for all the goodness God had done. The delight of the feast. They rejoiced. Now these people, time of Haggai, what could they do with the temple? What kind of a temple was there for them to go and rejoice? I want to take you to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 17. We'll close with this verse. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 17. When the very temple, the people at the time of Haggai, the very same temple for which they laid the foundation, the same temple which looked as though it was nothing, and the temple was completed, and after that, you see there, they kept the feast of the tabernacle. And remember, in the Old Testament, the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacle is mentioned only twice. And that was in the verse that we read earlier, on the day when Solomon dedicated his temple. That was the first reference for the Feast of the Tabernacle which they celebrated, written in the scripture. And this is the only second time in the Old Testament which is mentioning about the keeping of the Feast of the Tabernacle. That is in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 17. And all the congregation of them that were come out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the day of Joshua the son of Nun unto the day, had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. You see, there was a very great gladness. If in the past, the temple of Solomon they gathered with great gladness and joy, then also if this feeble way in which the work of God is being done, even when you come to that day when you will receive, there will be a great reward, there will be a great day of gladness. The past, if the past of our life, of in the past of the church age, was a day of great rejoicing, even the day that is ahead for us, when the completion of the temple will take place. We are the body, we are the temple of God. When our temple is completed, the church of God, when it is complete, it will be a day of great gladness. This encouragement of God comes to them. It's something that is going to happen in the future. We will look at it next week, the encouragement of God to his people. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts.